Chapter 12. Bulbo. A splendid luncheon was served to the royal party, of which the Archbishop, the Chancellor, Duke Hetzoff, Countess Gruffanuff, and all our friends partook, the fairy Blackstick being seated on the left of King Giglio, with Bulbo and Angelica beside her. You could hear the joy bells ringing in the capital, and the guns which the citizens were firing off in honor of their majesties. What could have induced that hideous old Gruffanuff to dress herself up in such an absurd way? Did you ask her to be your bridesmaid, my dear? Apostrophe apostrophe says Giglio to Rosalba. What a figure of fun Gruffy is. Apostrophe apostrophe, Gruffy was seated opposite their majesties, between the Archbishop and the Lord Chancellor, and a figure of fun she certainly was, for she was dressed in a low white silk dress, with lace over, a wreath of white roses on her wig, a splendid lace veil, and her yellow old neck was covered with diamonds. She ogled the king in such a manner that his majesty burst out laughing. 11 o'clock. Apostrophe apostrophe cries Giglio, as the great cathedral bell of Blombodinga tolled that hour. Gentlemen and ladies, we must be starting. Archbishop, you must be at church, I think, before 12? Apostrophe apostrophe, we must be at church before 12, apostrophe sighs out Gruffanuff in a languishing voice, hiding her old face behind her fan. And then I shall be the happiest man in my dominions, apostrophe cries Giglio, with an elegant bow to the blushing Rosalba. Oh, my Giglio! Oh, my dear majesty! Apostrophe exclaims Gruffanuff. And can it be that this happy moment at length has arrived? Apostrophe, of course it has arrived, apostrophe says the king. Apostrophe, and that I am about to become the enraptured bride of my adored Giglio. Apostrophe apostrophe continues Gruffanuff. Lend me a smelling bottle, somebody. I certainly shall faint with joy. Apostrophe, you my bride? Apostrophe apostrophe roars out Giglio. You marry my prince? Apostrophe apostrophe cried poor little Rosalba. Pooh! Nonsense! The woman's mad! Apostrophe exclaims the king. And all the courtiers exhibited by their countenances and expressions, marks of surprise, or ridicule, or incredulity, or wonder. I should like to know who else is going to be married, if I am not? Apostrophe apostrophe shrieks out Gruffanuff. I should like to know if King Giglio is a gentleman, and if there is such a thing as justice in Paphlagonia? Lord Chancellor! My Lord Archbishop! Will your lordship sit by and see a poor, fond, confiding, tender creature put upon? Has not Prince Giglio promised to marry his Barbara? Is not this Giglio's signature? Does not this paper declare that he is mine, and only mine? Apostrophe apostrophe, and she handed to His Grace the Archbishop the document which the prince signed that evening when she wore the magic ring, and Giglio drank so much champagne. And the old Archbishop, taking out his eyeglasses, read, "This is to give notice that I, Giglio, only son of Savio, King of Paphlagonia, hereby promise to marry the charming Barbara Griselda, Countess Gruffanuff, and widow of the late Jenkins Gruffanuff Esquire." H apostrophe M apostrophe says the Archbishop, "The document is certainly a document." Apostrophe apostrophe, foo. Apostrophe apostrophe says the Lord Chancellor, "The signature is not in His Majesty's handwriting." Apostrophe apostrophe indeed, since his studies at Bisforo, Giglio had made an immense improvement in calligraphy. "Is it your handwriting, Giglio?" Apostrophe apostrophe cries the fairy Blackstick, with an awful severity of countenance. Why yes. Apostrophe poor Giglio gasps out, "I had quite forgotten the confounded paper. She can't mean to hold me by it. You old wretch, what will you take to let me off? Help the queen, someone her majesty has fainted." Apostrophe apostrophe, chop her head off. Apostrophe apostrophe, exclaim the impetuous smother the old witch. Apostrophe apostrophe, heads off, the ardent smith, and pitch her into the river. Apostrophe apostrophe, the faithful Jones. But Gruffanuff flung her arms round the Archbishop's neck and bellowed out, "Justice! Justice, my Lord Chancellor!" Apostrophe, apostrophe so loudly that her piercing shrieks caused everybody to pause. As for Rosalba, she was borne away lifeless by her ladies, and you may imagine the look of agony which Giglio cast towards that lovely being, as his hope, his joy, his darling, his all in all, was thus removed, and in her place the horrid old Gruffanuff rushed up to his side, and once more shrieked out, "Justice! Justice! Apostrophe, apostrophe, won't you take that sum of money which Glumboso hid?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, says Giglio. 218,000 millions, or thereabouts. It's a handsome sum. Apostrophe, I will have that and you too. Apostrophe, apostrophe, says Gruffanuff. Let us throw the crown jewels into the bargain, apostrophe, gasps out Giglio. I will wear them by my Giglio's side. Apostrophe, apostrophe, says Gruffanuff. Will half, three quarters, five sixths, 19/20 of my kingdom do, Countess? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asks the trembling monarch. What were all Europe to me without you, my Giglio? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cries Gruff, kissing his hand. I won't, I can't, I shan't, I'll resign the crown first, apostrophe, shouts Giglio, tearing away his hand, but Gruff clung to it. I have a competency, my love, apostrophe, she says, and with thee, and a cottage thy Barbara will be happy. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Giglio was half mad with rage by this time. I will not marry her, apostrophe, says he. Oh, fairy, fairy, give me counsel? Apostrophe, and as he spoke he looked wildly round at the severe face of the fairy Blackstick. Why is fairy Blackstick always advising me, and warning me to keep my word? Does she suppose that I am not a man of honor? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the fairy, quoting Giglio's own haughty words. He quailed under the brightness of her eyes. He felt that there was no escape for him from that awful inquisition. Well, Archbishop, apostrophe, said he in a dreadful voice, that made his grace start, since this fairy has led me to the height of happiness, but to dash me down into the depths of despair, since I am to lose Rosalba, let me at least keep my honor. Get up, Countess, and let us be married. I can keep my word, but I can die afterwards. Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, dear Giglio, apostrophe, cries Gruffanuff, skipping up, I knew I could trust thee, I knew that my prince was the soul of honor. Jump into your carriages, ladies and gentlemen, and let us go to church at once. And as for dying, dear Giglio, no, no. Thou wilt forget that insignificant little chambermaid of a queen thou wilt live, to be consoled by thy Barbara. She wishes to be a queen, and not a queen dowager, my gracious lord. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and hanging upon poor Giglio's arm, and leering and grinning in his face in the most disgusting manner, this old wretch tripped off in her white satin shoes, and jumped into the very carriage which had been got ready to convey Giglio and Rosalba to church. The cannons roared again, the bells pealed triple bob majors, the people came out flinging flowers upon the path of the royal bride and bridegroom, and Gruff looked out of the gilt coach window, and bowed and grinned to them. Phew! The horrid old wretch! Zix! And now we come to the last scene in the pantomime. The many ups and downs of her life had given the Princess Rosalba prodigious strength of mind, and that highly principled young woman presently recovered from her fainting fit, out of which fairy Blackstick, by a precious essence which the fairy always carried in her pocket, awakened her. Instead of tearing her hair, crying, and bemoaning herself, and fainting again, as many young women would have done, Rosalba remembered that she owed an example of firmness to her subjects, and though she loved Giglio more than her life, was determined, as she told the fairy, not to interfere between him and justice, or to cause him to break his royal word. I cannot marry him, but I shall love him always, apostrophe, says she to Blackstick. I will go, and be present at his marriage with the Countess, and sign the book, and wish them happy with all my heart. I will see, when I get home, whether I cannot make the new queen some handsome presents. The Crim Tartary crown diamonds are uncommonly fine, and I shall never have any use for them. I will live and die unmarried like Queen Elizabeth, and, of course, I shall leave my crown to Giglio when I quit this world. Let us go and see them married, my dear fairy. Let me say one last farewell to him, and then, if you please, I will return to my own dominions. So the fairy kissed Rosalba with peculiar tenderness, and at once changed her wand into a very comfortable coach and four, with a steady coachman, and two respectable footmen behind, and the fairy and Rosalba got into the coach, which Angelica and Bulbo entered after them. As for honest Bulbo, he was blubbering in the most pathetic manner, quite overcome by Rosalba's misfortune. She was touched by the honest fellow's sympathy, promised to restore to him the confiscated estates of Duke Padella his father, and created him, as he sat there in the coach, Prince, Highness, and First Grandee of the Crim Tartar Empire. The coach moved on, and, being a fairy coach, soon came up with the bridal procession. Before the ceremony at church it was the custom in Paphlagonia, as it is in other countries, for the bride and bridegroom to sign the contract of marriage, which was to be witnessed by the Chancellor, Minister, Lord Mayor, and principal officers of state. Now, as the royal palace was being painted and furnished anew, it was not ready for the reception of the king and his bride, who proposed at first to take up their residence at the prince's palace, that one which Valoroso occupied when Angelica was born, and before he usurped the throne. So the marriage party drove up to the palace. The dignitaries got out of their carriages and stood aside. Poor Rosalba stepped out of her coach, supported by Bulbo, and stood almost fainting up against the railing so as to have a last look of her dear Giglio. As for Blackstick, she, according to her custom, had flown out of the coach window in some inscrutable manner, and was now standing at the palace door. Giglio came up the steps with his horrible bride on his arm, looking as pale as if he was going to execution. He only frowned at the fairy Blackstick. He was angry with her, and thought she came to insult his misery. "Get out of the way, pray," says Gruffanuff haughtily. "I wonder why you are always poking your nose into other people's affairs? Are you determined to make this poor young man unhappy?" says Blackstick. "To marry him, yes. What business is it of yours?" "Pray, madam, don't say ooh to a queen," cries Gruffanuff. "You won't take the money he offered you?" No. You won't let him off his bargain, though you know you cheated him when you made him sign the paper. Impudence. "Policeman, remove this woman," cries Gruffanuff. And the policemen were rushing forward, but with a wave of her wand the fairy struck them all like so many statues in their places. "You won't take anything in exchange for your bond, Mrs. Gruffanuff," cries the fairy, with awful severity. "I speak for the last time." No. Shrieks Gruffanuff, stamping with her foot. "I'll have my husband, "You shall have your husband." The fairy Blackstick cried, and advancing a step, laid her hand upon the nose of the knocker. As she touched it, the brass nose seemed to elongate, the open mouth opened still wider, and uttered a roar which made everybody start. The eyes rolled wildly, the arms and legs uncurled themselves, writhed about, and seemed to lengthen with each twist. The knocker expanded into a figure in yellow livery, 6 feet high. The screws by which it was fixed to the door unloosed themselves, and Jenkins Gruffanuff once more trod the threshold off which he had been lifted more than 20 years ago. "Master's not at home," says Jenkins, just in his old voice, and Mrs. Jenkins, giving a dreadful oop, fell down in a fit, in which nobody minded her. for everybody was shouting, "Huzzay! Huzzay!" Apostrophe hip, hip, hooray! Apostrophe apostrophe long live the king and queen! Apostrophe were such things ever seen? Apostrophe apostrophe no, never, never, never! Apostrophe the fairy black stick forever! Apostrophe apostrophe the bells were ringing double peals, the guns roaring and banging most prodigiously. Bulbo was embracing everybody. The Lord Chancellor was flinging up his wig and shouting like a madman. Heads off had got the Archbishop round the waist, and they were dancing a jig for joy. And as for Giglio, I leave you to imagine what he was doing, and if he kissed Rosalba once, twice 20,000 times, I'm sure I don't think he was wrong. So Gruffanuff opened the hall door with a low bow, just as he had been accustomed to do, and they all went in, and signed the book, and then they went to church and were married, and the fairy Blackstick sailed away on her cane, and was never more heard of in Paphlagonia. And here ends the fireside pantomime. End Project Gutenberg text of the Rose and the Ring. RSRNG by Gutenberg Edition.